Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for our time today, just to be together. God, that you allow us the freedom to do this. And Father, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do in this place and in this moment. God, through your word, God, teach us. Show us what you would have us to see. And God, what we need to be obedient to. God, how that needs to be lived out. God, instruct us today. And Father, my prayer is that we'll leave differently than we came into this room. God, we'll leave certainly more knowledgeable, but God, more intent, more desiring, more wanting to, God, just be obedient to what you have shown us. So God, I pray that you remove anything in our minds, anything in our hearts, God, that would hinder us. God, that we will give you our undivided attention so that you can, God, just pour into us your truth. And God, that it'll take root and begin to grow. And Father, it will bear fruit. So Father, today, thank you once again for just allowing us to be here and be a part of this and what you're going to do. May all praise and glory go to you, and your name just be worshipped in fullness as you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, thank you so much for being here today. Gosh, it's if I start sweating up here, it'll be okay, I reckon. I don't know, that's crazy. Okay, so last week, the guy that come and did a sermon last week, I understand, kind of just was short and sweet. But anyway, this week, God poured something on me. And before I get into it, I don't want you to look at this because you could easily take this as insulting. You could take this as like beating you up. You could take this in a lot of ways. And I do not want you to leave here like that. I want you to leave here with with an excitement. I want you to leave here with a desire like, yes, that is now what I have to do. And I got to move in it and got to go in it. Also, more importantly than what I'm going to tell you, those words, I want you to see what God says about his word and what he means when it comes to being obedient to it. And so I just got encouraged as I read a phrase, and then it led me to the scripture, and I read the scripture, and then I was listening to a guy preach on a similar subject and got some insight on it. And today's not going to be like unfamiliar. It's going to, when I start, and that's the reason I want God to keep your eyes open, because you've heard this. If you've been in church twice in your life, you've heard these passages of Scripture. But here's the thing that I think about, and I guess I want to open like this, is that can be a good thing that we hear it so much. It can also be a bad thing at times because we begin to just, it doesn't impact us. We just hear it. And there's got to be more than just hearing it. I mean, God's Word, I've done said, This word, God's holy word, is of no use. It is of nothing if we don't follow it. I mean, hearing it's one thing, and it's good to hear it, but if we don't apply it, then it's just another book. And I don't want this to be just another book in our lives. This needs to be alive in us. And so today, the title, you can go ahead and throw that up. I didn't, you know, want, this is all I could really come up with, and we may retitle it. I don't know, but the title is Do What Jesus Said, period. Do What Jesus Said, period. Pretty simple, right? As I was combing through Scripture, and over the last few months, God is teaching me and he's showing me new stuff, and I'm excited because you never, and let me make this abundantly clear, because I do not want you to leave here with the thing, well, I'll just tell you what I got and run with it, and God's happy with that, and I'll be obedient to that. You always need to be learning. You always need to be learning. I don't know how many of you in here read your Bible once a day, twice a day, six times a day, once a month. You know, I don't know. But you need to be in the Word of God, and you need to be learning. More importantly, you need to be applying. But I want us to understand, because there is this thing that has happened as long as I can remember, and since I've been in ministry, I have seen this happen over and over and over again. It has always bothered me to a degree because I don't know how many structured people you have to have definite structure to do life. I mean, let me ask this question in a different way. Who flies by the seat of their pants? I love y'all. That's awesome. Y'all my kind of people. That, you know, and so this is not necessarily taking it that flippantly, but it is taking what you know in God's Word, because I've used this term, pardon me, and I you know, it's the only way I know to describe it. I've known people who have studied the Word of God, and in a conversation with them, if you ask, it's like, dude, you know the whole Bible. That's just crazy. That's good crazy. But you never, ever, ever see them making disciples. Never. So what good is it? If I knew every single thing, if I knew the meaning of every single verse from Genesis 1 to Revelation to the end, can't remember what the last chapter is. Anyway, to the end of the Bible, if I knew every meaning to every scripture and never used it, what good is it? It's like having a car. They bring you a 2018 model car for Christmas, say Merry Christmas, hand you the keys, and you never drive it. What good is it? What good is it? I want the Bible to be good for us. I want the Bible to be what we follow. And so today we're going to talk about what that looks like. And it's really much more simple than we make it out to be. So I guess more than anything, I'll be preaching like to introverts today. You know, because there's only one extrovert in the crowd, and that's me, you know, to a degree. There's we're getting a few trickle in. But anyway, I don't want to hound on that. Seriously, I want you to see the joy in just doing what God says do. And I don't care how introverted you are, and I don't care how shy you are, and I don't care how withdrawn from people you are and how much you don't like crowds. God is bigger than all of that. And God can use you as an instrument. So that's where I want to go. And as I was reading some passages of Scripture, I just, you know, came to, the first one like I came to was, of course, Matthew 4:19, where it says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Who's heard that? Simple, right? What does it mean? You know, make you fishers of men. I'm going to, in just a few minutes, I'm going to break that down literally word by word. What that looks like, what that means, what we should do with that. But as I was reading on, I found something very interesting in the Bible. I found Isaiah 66:2, and this just hit me, and it's like, this is kind of what spurred this entire message. Did you know God's looking at you? Everybody know God's looking at you? He always sees you. God knows your heart and all that. And also, God's looking for a person. Play with me just for a second here. God's looking for a person. He's looking for someone, and this is the way it reads. I love this. For my hand made all these things. Thus all things came into being. I mean, just break this down for you just a second. God made it all. God created it all. God built it all. God made it all. Everything is done by God. Okay? He does it. He made it. He packed it. He whatever. God, and all these things came into being because God said so. So we already got a big God. Okay? Declares the Lord. He said all these came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one, meaning an individual, to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. God's looking for that. So what does that mean? God's looking for that one with the repentant heart. God's looking to that one that is humble. God's looking for that one. He's calling, he's working, he's moving. God's looking for that one that trembles at his word. I wonder this morning, I wanted to ask this question. How many of us read God's word and trembles at it? How many, and that's the reason I made the statement at the beginning, because we'd all read, God, Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. How many of us read that passage and tremble at it? How powerful is God's word literally in your heart and in your mind and in your life? How many of us read God's word and tremble at it? Because that trembling causes something to happen. That trembling, in other words, I guess I could put it, you know, how seriously do you take God's word? How intently does it soak in? Ultimately, what kind of impact does God's word have on you? How does it impact you? How many, and I'm guilty, oh man, I'm so guilty of this. I can read a passage of Scripture and I can sit there and in the moment it's like, man, God, you're amazing. That is totally amazing, God. And I can get up and not go live it. I've done that. I've sat at a morning study by myself, read scripture, be impacted. In other words, it pierced, it got in there, but because of other things in my life, or however I was viewing my day, or however I was viewing, it was just a moment with God that resulted in disobedience to what he had just shown me. I don't know if that makes sense to you. It makes perfect sense to me. And that's kind of the way, especially in our culture, that's kind of the way we do our life. We don't tremble at his word. It's good. We can use it from time to time. Sometimes it will cause us to steer in the right direction, but a lot of times we just read it and our respect, our reverence, our love for God's word is just kind of, we're reading some good stuff from a good God, and it doesn't really move us. God's word should move us. God's word should move us. We should tremble at it. And so he says, this is what I'm looking for. This is the one I'm looking for. He said, I want the one that's going to pay attention. So I wonder what that would look like. I wrote down a few things. I think it would be more than just a deep study of his word. We must study. We should study. We got to study. But I think it's more than that. It's more than just a deep study of his word. It would be more than just memorizing his word. It would be more than leaving church service and saying, wow, that was really convicting. And I want to just tell you about that. I have left the service. I've left conference, and I can't tell you how many conferences I've been to. And I'd leave, and I'd be so convicted and like, wow, man, that just pierced me. That was intense, you know, and I'd walk off and I'd do the whole hang my head low, man, God, you nailed me on that one. And I got to thinking back as I was just kind of rereading everything last night. I got to thinking about it. I said, I walked away and I was like one that I'm fixing to share with you in just a second. I was like that guy when God pierced my heart with the truth. And I'm like, wow. I walked away not just convicted, I walked away sad. And that's kind of crazy. That's kind of crazy. And in thinking about that, I'm like, I came up on the story that we're going to read in just a few minutes about a rich young ruler and what that looked like. And God brought me to that. So what would it look like if we trembled at God's word? I'm going to give you this, and if you need to go early, you can, because this is the whole gist of the message right here. I'm going to give it to you in one good lump, okay? Here's what that looks like. What would it look like if we trembled at God's word? You would hear it. You would hear it, and you would go and do it. Pretty simple, isn't it? Like, Danny, there's got to be more. Mm-mm. No, you hear it. You tremble at it. It impacts you, and you go and do it. You go and do what the Word of God says. But Danny, I got questions. Sure you do. Don't we all? But God's Word just caused me to tremble. Jesus said, the one, and I don't necessarily, and don't, I'm not trying to be irreverent here. I don't think of my Savior as the little baby in the manger. That manger was power-packed with Almighty God. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and I know there's a great purpose in why he sent his son the way he did, and that is completely awesome. But that's a king in the manger. That king, that Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. He did not say that I will attempt to mold you into a fisher of men. He did not say, I'm going to try my best to get you to understand this. He did not say, let's see if this will work in your life. If not, we'll find something else for you to do. Every single follower of Jesus that breathes oxygen into your body, this is true of everyone, he should say, or should be true of everyone that is following me. I will make you fishers of men. Which is going to bring me to my next point, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because I want to lay this out because it's made such great sense to me. But you know me, I don't do notes, so we're fixing to probably go off here. He makes us great fishers of men. And what's the one thing Jesus told his disciples the last time they seen him? They were fixing to see him, you know, ascend into the heaven. And what did he say? The last conversation was like, go and make disciples. go and make disciples. Now, I could have come in here this morning, but I didn't want to do this in a negative sense, and not that it would necessarily be that way, but sometimes we take it that way. I want to get a head start on 2018, if God grants us 2018. How many disciples did I make? And this isn't a quota thing, okay? Please hear me. This isn't like, well, I had 10 and a half this year. This isn't a quota thing. I'm not talking about that. I guess better to say it this way. How many people did you pour the love of Christ into and instruct and direct and share? And it could be one, it could be 10, it could be 100. All I'm asking is this. It's not a thing about how many did you make. It's how involved in making a disciple or disciples were we in 2017. Because Jesus said that's what we're to be doing. I'm going to throw some crazy stuff at you here, and you don't have to agree with me on this. Should we love making disciples as much as we love our families? Just a question. That's just a question. Should we love making disciples as much as we love our families? Because we'd die for our families, right? Amen. Our families are of the utmost importance. The question is, we willing to die for a lost man? We willing, and when I say die, I'm not necessarily talking about a physical death. I'm talking about giving up my life, sacrificing my life, sacrificing my stuff, my time, all that, just sacrificing everything for the cause of helping. I'm just an instrument, by the way. I can't save anybody, but I can be an instrument of God. Do I love that individual enough to love them into discipleship, fellowship, if you will, of Jesus Christ? Have I done that? Am I doing that? And I'm not going to sit here and go, ooh, if you don't, because I'd have to go, ooh, like that. I can't blame you because I can't condemn you. Good thing is, neither you can condemn me. It's pretty awesome. But now we're back to Jesus. It's us, your opinion, my thought, my opinion, whatever, and then there's Jesus. And Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. So, when you hear the word, do you tremble at his word? Does it make you want to get up and move on behalf of what you just read? You read about kings that God used and people that he would work through and work in. And I remember, just came to my mind when he was telling Gideon, Gideon had too many people, God said he had too many people. And he was like, he would take them down and God said, no, you need to get those guys who's doing this, get rid of them. And he was down to nothing. God said, now I can work with it. Your impossibility will be my glory. Now I can work with it. Now I can work in it. Now I can work through it. Now you will see that I am God. So I want to say that because a lot of times we can feel that way. God, this is way bigger than me. Isn't it funny when we think about going to make disciples and we think about talking to someone about Jesus and our culture is kind of like, you know, you need to keep your religious beliefs on the down low. You know, that's very personal. You daggone right, it's personal. That's what Jesus is saying. I want to make it personal. But you don't keep your mouth shut. You tell people, well, Danny, this could cause, yes, it's going to cause problems. It did for Jesus. It did for Jesus. So I'm thinking, I'm sitting there reading the word and I'm learning all this stuff and man, God has been tremendous. I want to tell you, God has been tremendous in this body with the people he's bringing in and the knowledge that he's bringing in and the truth that he's bringing in and the purity of, not to say, believe me, none of them's perfect, but anyway, just what he's bringing in is just stinking amazing. And I'm thinking, I want to be so careful. I want to be so careful. I want to glean and learn all I can learn. But God, please do not let us just sit here and become educational constipated. You know? Don't let that church, don't let this body become spiritually constipated where we just hold it in. And I walk out the door and say, man, I feel smart. And never say anything to anyone about my Redeemer. How, by the way, if you read His Word and you tremble, how can you contain that? How is it possible that we can hold that in? And my only thought is, it didn't have that trembling impact. We didn't read it looking through the eyes of Almighty God. We just read a story. We didn't see the hugeness of like every single word that was breathed by God and put on these pages for us to hold in our hands. We don't see it like that. Well, last night and Friday and Thursday, I began to think, okay, so I asked my question, and you know, I'm simple as a bowl of grits. I'm not the smartest guy, not sharpest tack in the box, whatever you want to say, but it began to kind of just hit me. Man, reading it, God's Word, I didn't just dwell on every word. God, Danny, just soak up God's Word. And what would it look like if I trembled at His Word? And what would it look like if when He gave instruction for His follower, one who proclaims to be His child, to tremble at His Word and go and move in that? What does that look like? What does that look like? By the way, you know I'm going here. I got to say this. Is anything impossible with God? In fact, Scripture says, nothing is impossible with me. Wow. Think about it. Just meditate on that for just a second. This God that we proclaim to be our Savior, our King, nothing is impossible with Him. Well, Danny, I know I've heard that. I know you've heard it. What you doing with it? What are you doing with it? What am I doing with it? Nothing's impossible. I think about it would be so impossible for me to just walk up to somebody and begin a conversation and talk to them about Jesus. Absolutely impossible. Well, not for me because I like to talk, but for people who don't like to talk. I shouldn't have said that. I'm just messed up. But that shouldn't be impossible. And we, have you ever noticed what our enemy begins to whisper to us? Hey, man, that guy could pull a gun out and shoot you. It means I'd be with Jesus. But see, we don't think about it like that. We love us. Or, I'm going to be offensive. You know, aren't you just kind of sick of hearing the word offended? I think we need to come up with a new word that means that we're weak and dumb. You know, call it fupa or something. You could definitely get fired. Here's the thing. I'm thinking about this. Guys, let me back up for a second. This is easy coming from stage. This is easy to preach. This is so easy to say to you this morning. But I got to go live it as soon as I walk out that door. See, that's where I want to get us. That's where I want to talk about, because I thought about this. You could lose a job. You could lose friends. You could shoot your family, desert you. That's happened, you know. You could lose all kind of things. But then I read passages of Scripture if I'm trembling at His Word. This is so sweet. If I'm reading the Bible and understanding and believing God, He says He'll provide. So you mean, God, if I go out and just do it? If I go out and just be obedient to Your Word, just do it. Just do it. I'm going to look weird. I'm okay with that. Hey, I've been that way all my life. Just a different kind of weird now. Lose my job. God, You're going to take care of me. I mean, seriously, I'm throwing out some things that I don't know if we really think about. And, you know, you got to be careful. Don't be dumb and go and say something or, you know, do it in such a way that you know, that it's just wrongly done. But I'm saying on your job, there may be an individual who's, you know, you've been around them long enough, who needs to know and see the love of Jesus Christ. And let me say this, God didn't place you there by accident. By the way, just so you'll know this, if God is big enough, powerful enough, smart enough, wonderful enough to sew you together in your mother's womb, He is big enough, strong enough, wise enough to place you in a spot in life. I believe this with all my heart. You ain't nowhere by your choice. I don't know, y'all might not agree with that. God put you there. If I read the Bible correctly, all through Scripture, He orchestrated kings, He orchestrated animals, He orchestrated events, He orchestrated just things and stuff and floods and trees and grass, and He orchestrated every little detail of everything that's going on. And if God is big enough to do that, He can orchestrate your life, and He can give you the words and the courage and the strength to go and make disciples. He can do that. See, I've been reading this week, guys, and that's making me tremble. He can do this. The people that said, it was like, anybody ever see Forrest Gump? It may be like, okay, y'all were sinful. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Anyway, you know, they told him, and I'm making fun, but he had the football, and they told him run, and instantly he said, okay. You know, he was instant. They told him go, and he moved. That's the picture I want you to leave here when you read God's word. He says go, and you do it. You do it. We don't need to ask God, how's this going to turn out? Let me worry about that. If you want to wonder how things are going to turn out, go to Scripture and read about your eternal destination with the Holy God. That's how it's going to turn out. See, you're just going to be making stops along the way. Some of those will be good. Some of those will be pleasurable. Some of those are going to just rot. But they're just stops. This isn't your home. This isn't your permanent place. Your permanent place, oh, wow, I don't have words to describe that. So in light of how is this going to turn out, God can say it's going to turn out well. It's going to turn out well. Everything you're in right now, everything that's going on in your life right now, good or bad, mountain or valley, everything that's happening, because you're my child, because you're obedient to my word, that's how you're living, it's going to turn out well. Better than, in fact, it's like, God would be like, I don't want to really spoil it for you right this minute. I'll give you a little taste of it. And that little taste would drown us. That's a little bit. There's much more to come. The first just pops in my mind. I may be totally out of context here, but it just popped in my mind. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So, you hear it. You just go and do it. It's pretty simple. You do what He says do. So where I want to go is let's put up Luke 9:59. And so I'm going to give you two different stories, one for why we shouldn't be, one for how we should be, and what all that looks like. So this is the rich young ruler. And anyway, I've heard this preached so many ways. When he says, go and follow me, you know, I've heard it said, some people get real spiritual on this, and they will they were like, well, here's what he was trying to say. I just think he was just trying to say you shouldn't be rich. That's a lie. I've heard that preached. You know, having money's bad thing. That's not the case. Okay? Money can ruin things for you. It can. Money can also help things on behalf of God. Okay? So it's what we do with what He's given us. So it's not about that. What is Jesus trying to get the rich young ruler to see? Well, let's read it and find out. He says, and he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me. Sorry, this ain't the rich young ruler. I've got to read this verse. He said, follow me. These people who is hesitant about following. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. Here's how intense Jesus is on saying, go. He said, but he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. That's instant. When Jesus called his disciples, he went down by the lake, and he didn't say, hey, fellas, come here, I want to run something by you. He didn't say, hey, guys, come here, what you think about this idea? Let's sit down for a minute and look at what it would look like to follow me. Let me tell you where I'm going. Let me tell you how this is going to look. Let me tell you how this is going to happen. He didn't say none of that. He walked and he looked at the guys out in the water and he said, come on, follow me. And it says in Scripture, you can see where some of those guys pull their boat up on shore their entire life. Their entire life. They pull their boat up on shore, throw the nets down, and they followed him. And Jesus would say, like that. Like that. That's how you follow me. You don't worry about let the dead bury their own dead. You follow me. Nothing, I love this. This is what comes to mind. Nothing is more valuable and important than I am, Jesus would say. Nothing. But nothing. Nothing. Not your husband, not your wife, not your children, not anything you have. Nothing is more valuable than I am. And see, that's a problem for us, right? Because we make things in our life more valuable than Jesus. That's one reason when we sit down to read the Word, we don't tremble, and we don't tremble, and we don't move. More times than not, sadly to say, I know in my life, and I'll just use me as an example, more times than not, when Jesus said move, or the Scripture instructed me to move, one of the first things I did was think about how it was going to impact my life. Isn't that crazy? Isn't it crazy for a follower of Almighty God to think about how this is going to impact my life? That should not even be a question for a follower of Jesus. Because this next little bit really freaks me out. It scared me. It made me tremble. Not just this week, but years ago made me tremble. He says, let the dead bury their own dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to go and say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no. No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Whew. That one really made me tremble. That one really made me think. You say that you surrender to me and you're going to follow me. Now that you have made that oath, now that you have made that promise, now that you have said that you would follow me, you want to go do something other than follow me? He says, this is huge. Take it like you will. But he says, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. I think in light of that, I mean, as God looks down at our life and he's watching every second, more than that, he's watching every heartbeat and every thought that passes through this cantaloupe up here. I mean, he's watching everything. And he would be like, you're going to think that? You're going to do that? Your mind's going to be consumed with TractorHouse.com? Really? Really? You like a tractor more than you like me? And I don't know about your addiction, but be mine. Not fit for the kingdom of God. That's pretty intense. Jesus said follow. So what does that mean? It means right now. In light of what you know in God's Word right now, you individually, in light of what you know as an individual, of God's Word, how have and how do you go and move on what you know? You heard me say this before. People tell me a lot of times before I can go, you know, share the gospel, I need to know a little more. No, you don't. No. See, you can start immediately. Immediately. You can know, like John 3:16, you can know that Jesus said, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. You can start right there. You can start because you changed, right? Jesus lives inside of me. Have you ever thought about, it's not you speaking the words of God, it's God speaking the words through you. Isn't that an amazing thought? We're not smart enough to get somebody to come to Jesus. It takes Jesus to lead somebody to Jesus. We're just an instrument. We're just a mouthpiece. We're just hands and feet And let me say this. Some of us look at that as a burden. Oh, well, I got to go talk to them again. Wow. And Jesus just said, man, you have such a great, joyful heart. Not. It's crazy. And, you know, we think in terms of you know, I gotta, and when we gotta, he said, what you gotta do is stop worrying about that and follow me. Follow me. I'm telling you the reason that, and I'm convinced in my life, I don't know about you, but I'm convinced in my life, I love stuff. I love things and I love to spend time with things and stuff. And by the way, don't walk out of here today and go all monk on me. Like Jesus told you, get rid of those red toothpicks and only keep the blue ones. You know, don't go crazy. Listen to Jesus and what he says. Listen to what he says. Learn from what he's doing in you. So, move when you read the word. I'd like for you to think about one, I guess, lesson one this week, a little homework, is if you read your Bible, and God, I'm praying that you do. If you read your Bible, think about what it would look like to tremble at what Jesus just said to you. I even got so real, I went and sat in our bedroom, and this is weird, but Cindy has this mirror that if you're fat like me, you should never walk in front of, because I think it adds 20 pounds. But anyway, she's got this big, whatever you call them, women know what they are, like mirrors you can look at your whole self in. I never figured that out. But anyway, so I'm sitting there and picturing, like, talking to myself, but I'm thinking it brought to memory, like, I wonder if Jesus himself was sitting right here and saying this to me face to face. Would that help me understand what it would be like, the Son of the Risen, risen Savior of God? If he was sitting there and talking to me, would I tremble? Would I move? Would something be different? Because he's actually doing that. He's actually doing that. When we get in God's Word, when he says, like, something like, you know, be honest. Be honest. When he says things like that's what he means. What kind of impact does that have? We'll go out, and maybe if you're a businessman, we'll go out and say, well, you know, I'll shave a little here and shave a little there. It's not really going to make a big difference. I had a guy one time that, you know, we had a truck guy come in and said, hey, man, can you haul me some dirt? The guy told me, he said, man, if you don't want to do it, just tell him your dump's broke. See, I have a problem, because usually when I lie like that, it breaks. You know? It just don't, you know, it's no good in it. So why we, you know, Jesus said just be honest across the board. Truth is going to hurt people. Yeah, the truth will hurt people. Truth stings. You ever had your heart pierced by truth? If you hadn't, we need to talk. But truth is good. Truth is right. And Jesus said, don't be a little bit truthful, be all truthful. Even if it's painful. Even if it's painful. So do it right now. Tremble his word. Okay, Luke 18. Now we get to the rich young ruler. Luke 18. What the rich young ruler, he's just like, sadly walked away. Let's read it. A ruler questioned him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Isn't that like us? We don't want to have to do anything. We just want the nugget at the end, right? We just want heaven. It's funny. Think about our culture. A lot of times our culture will say, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian, and I believe that God stuff, but what I'm really after, I want the nugget at the end. Let me share something with you. Heaven ain't even the main point of why Jesus came. That's not even the main. It is good. It is a benefit of knowing Jesus. But Jesus didn't come just so you could get to experience heaven. Jesus came so you can experience him. So that you can know him. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. And so he's telling him, said, Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Teenagers, that's for you. Okay? Honor your father and mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So you can kind of see him bow up a little bit. Done that, done that. And Jesus is like, when Jesus heard this, he said, all right. Well, not really. Jesus said to him, one thing you still lack. And we got to understand what he's lacking, okay? Because we miss this. What he's lacking. Sell all your possession, all you possess, and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. See, this just so connects. Now, we think of a rich young ruler as having lots and lots of stuff. I'm going to break it down a little deeper for us this morning. Okay? Not only do we love stuff, we are so in love with, I don't know, let me start with a ridiculous list here. We're so in love with friendships. We're so in love with our children. We're so in love with our wife. What did Jesus say at some point? He said, unless you hate your mother, father. Remember Jesus saying that? Now, for those of you that looked at me like, what? He did say that. What is he talking about there? He said, your love for me should be so great, it would appear to be like you hate them. That's crazy, isn't it? What is he saying? Love me first, love me most. And everything else will be right. Love me first, love me most, and everything will be as it should be, as I designed it to be, as I made it to be. Now, you can go home and look at your family today and ask this question. Do I love them more than I love Jesus? This is one of those things you need to answer in front of your mirror. Do I love them more than I love Jesus? Because if I'm loving them more than I love Jesus, I ain't loving them right. That's the way I see it. That's what I'm getting out of it. Love Jesus more. Love him first. And you'll love everything else and everybody else the way they should be loved. So he tells him to do this. But when he had heard this, the rich young ruler had heard these things, he became very sad. For he was extremely rich. And see, here's the sad thing in church services sometimes. Here's the thing that can happen in church services sometimes. We hear a convicting message and we leave convicted and sad. You don't see Jesus, and we feel good about it. We feel more spiritual about it. I've actually had people tell me that, man, you walked all over my feet today. That was a good message. Well, first of all, I don't walk on your feet. If your feet been walked on, that's Jesus out there doing that. That ain't me. But how sad that we would leave. That was convicting. And then we're just sad. And we almost feel more spiritual. You didn't see Jesus say right here, y'all see that, guys? Man, I convicted him. That ain't Jesus' attitude. That ain't even Jesus. Like, it's so hard. Jesus was heartbroken. It's so hard. Let's read the rest of it. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I want to give you a new definition of rich today. If you've only got one bowl of soup left in your house, just because where you are, we sitting in this room today are filthy rich. We really are. We're filthy rich. Let me explain it this way. If you know Jesus Christ, a millionaire has only a half a cent. You are filthy rich if you know Jesus Christ. The riches that he didn't want to give up and the riches that we always, it just isn't money. This isn't about money. This is the things that we hold dear to our heart. These are the things that we literally worship. These are the things that we wouldn't give up for anything. Jesus himself could come and say to us, turn loose of that so your heart can belong to me. And we would walk away convicted and sad instead of saying, it's done. He walked away. How many times have we walked out and Jesus has spoken loud and clear, either through a message or through a study or through a one-on-one or just in a group. How many times have we walked away and you're like, man, I know I need to do that. I'm just so sad. I know I need to do that. And Jesus would be saying, no! Turn it loose. Man, I hold great joy. I want to give to you. I want to put something in your heart that you can't even contain. I want to do that. I want to do that. So, he walked away. He walked away sad. Luke 19, verse 1 through 10. Y'all know this story. I want to sing the song maybe. Zacchaeus was a... I'm just kidding. Y'all know the story, right? Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus. How many say Zacchaeus? So I guess I'm supposed to go with Zacchaeus. Y'all are awesome. So anyway, Luke 19, 1 through 10. So he entered Jericho and he was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief... You got to back up. I can't read that fast. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was a small in stature. He was a tiny little man. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down, and he received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he's going to be with the guest of a man, who is a sinner. Well, aren't we all? That never made sense to me. Aren't we all sinners? You, Mr. Religious Mouth? Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. Now hold right there before you go to the next one. This is what this looks like. This is what happens when you let go of you and allow God to begin to drive you and steer you and move you and make you. This is what happens when you tremble at the word and you go do it. I've had people, and this just came to my mind as well, had people tell me that I just don't feel the presence of the Lord anymore. Do you love him? Yes, I love him. Are you doing what he says? Well, I hadn't lately. Well, then go do what he says and you'll feel the presence. His presence is weird about this, about Jesus. His presence shows up where you're doing what he told you to do. I mean, his presence is always with us. But he shows up when you're there doing what he commanded you to do, or told you to do. It's a funny thing. Jesus is right here. You'll feel the presence when you're doing what he's instructed you to do. It would be like this. If I had a group of kids, and said, we're going to go out, and we're going to play volleyball. And one of the kids, I won't play volleyball. Well, sit down. I don't care. But we're still going out. But you ain't going to feel our presence. Because you're sitting here and you're whining like a baby. You do what God says do. You want to feel his presence, then be where he's present. He's present everywhere. I understand that. But you see him. You feel him. You know he's there when you're in the middle of what he said do. You know that. You can feel that. So if you ain't feeling the presence of God, then ask God, where do I need to get back on the road? He paid back. This is what this looks like. Zacchaeus says, he's met the Lord. And can you imagine Jesus wanting to come to your house? And Zacchaeus is like, he gets it. He gets it. And he says, I'm filthy rich. Jesus, at this moment, half of everything I got is going to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone, if I've, you know, dealt dishonestly, I'm going to pay you back four times as much. And let's look what Jesus says. See, there wasn't this necessarily burning of candles and a religious reading and this whoa. There wasn't none of that. Zacchaeus' heart was emptied because he understood and knew who Jesus was. He came to that understanding. Only God can show that to you. So God revealed himself to Zacchaeus, and he says, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was lost, and now he's saved. He knows Jesus. You go and you do it. You move in it. You trust him. You unload your heart of you. Gosh, I didn't even write that down, but that sounds like it relates to me pretty good. Unload my heart of me. So now that I can see Jesus. Okay. He changed his heart. Jesus would say it like this, as he did in verse 27, chapter 18. I'm telling you, because at the end of verse 27 in Luke 18, at the end, he's telling them what's impossible with man is possible with God. How does this happen? Zacchaeus' heart, by the way, didn't unload because he decided to do it. He understood who Jesus was. There's another thing. As you read the Word of God, do you understand who Jesus is? As you read the Word of God, do you understand what Jesus does? As you read the Word of God, do you understand the instructions of God through Christ because you know Him? Jesus does all of that. See, here's the thing. We don't have to figure out how to go and move, and what I'm fixing to touch on winding up here. 28. Oh, man, I love reading this. So, we're going to be about God's business. We're going to be doing what God told us to do. We're going to be about moving. We'll start to tremble at His Word. Well, why the Bible? Well, I need to grow and I need... What did you say? You believe this is alive. See, here's a farming illustration for you because that's what I've done all my life. We used to go and get bags and bags and bags and bags of corn seed. Bags of corn seed. And every once in a while, we would have a bag or half a bag left over at the end of the season. And here's what I came... This is just totally genius. Here's what I came to figure out. Every seed that was put in the soil grew a plant. And if God provided rain, of course, let's don't get too technical, but if it was a season, every plant that grew produced an ear. And every ear that was produced was productive in feeding my livestock. It was productive. Funny thing, the seed that was left in the bag, I never harvested. The seed that was left in the bag never sprouted. The seed that was left in the bag never bore any fruit at all. In fact, because it was treated, I couldn't even feed it to my animals. It was useless in the bag. Our message of Jesus Christ and what we know to be true in our hearts is seed in a bag if it's not planted in someone else's heart. That's what it is. It's awesome that you heard the message and you surrendered your life to Christ. But He handed you a bag of seed. And He expects us to plant those seeds. See, God is the farmer of all farmers. I love this. I love this. God is the farmer of all farmers. He places in this what needs to be placed in another. And farming is year by year, crop by crop. It continues to move. It continues to go. You never quit planting. You never quit cultivating. You never quit fertilizing, all because it will produce fruit. So on the subject that I'm fixing to get into, no, I'm not going to preach another sermon. This will be pretty short because you've heard this already. The subject I'm fixing to get into and what I want my whole point to be, when we tremble at God's Word and we do what God's Word says, we move, we go, we do. Stop thinking about how it's going to mess your life up. Just stop thinking about that. I mean, really, in light of Scripture, he says our lives are like a vapor. And my vapor is getting so thin I can almost see through it. You know, my life is like a vapor. Man, I want to stand before God and have Him be pleased with how I followed Him. I want Him to be pleased. I've even prayed, God, I want You to be happy with me. And I can see my daddy, my heavenly father, grin at me and say, I'm happy with you. I'm pleased with you. Now, let's talk about this, moving and going and being a part of what I'm doing. Yeah, I want you to move. I want you to go. I want you to grow. And I want you to grow others. I want you to make disciples. See, I don't want you to leave here today looking at this as a task. Oh, crap, because I just totally stink at making disciples. Stop looking at it that way. You've been invited by Almighty God to change lives. You've been invited. You've been given an invitation to come and be a part of having people's lives redeemed and saved by Almighty God just by you being used as an instrument. You've been invited into that. This shouldn't even have task written on it. This should have joy written all over it. God, you would consider me? God, you really would consider me to go and plant the seed, to go and cultivate the crop, to go and love someone into your arms? God, you have considered me? Creator of heaven and earth has invited you to go and make disciples. That's crazy. See, when I think of it in those terms, it kind of removes the fear. That really does kind of remove the fear. God, I can't mess this up because you're doing it. God, my circumstances could go from A to B to C to D to Z to F, but that really doesn't matter, does it? You're still God. I got a short time to have the privilege and the honor that you would even consider me to be a part of changing a heart, of changing a life. He's invited us to that. So let's read this scripture right here right quick, and then we'll go because it's almost Christmas, okay? And Jesus came up and spoke to them. Stop right there. Why is this so important? Why is this so important? And Jesus came up and spoke to them. Because just a few days before this, he was dead. Now, I don't know about you, but if I knew and had seen someone die and he walked up and said something to me, I think I'm going to listen. I don't know. These disciples seen him hang on a cross. They seen the brutality of it. They seen him die. They seen the spear hole in the side. He was put into a tomb. And now he walks up. He walks up and he speaks to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. Because of that, see, when you read the word and you tremble, you get this. That Jesus said, go, that I can do it. Why can I go, Jesus? How do you know this will be right? How do you know it'll be successful? God, how do you know it's the thing to do? God, how do you know? He said, because I am God and I have all authority. God, how will this work out? It's going to work out well. It's going to work out well. Think heavenly, if you will. This is not... Guys, we really are agents of change on behalf of God on a battlefield where people are needing to be picked up and breathe life breathed into them. And all we are is like stretch your carriers. We pick them up, we love them, and we take them to the feet of God, and God restores them, and He makes them new. Surely we can tote a stretcher. Man, we have the stretcher of life right here. We can begin to give them things that will change their life. We can give them instruction. We can give them what's happened to us in Christ Jesus that will open their eyes on behalf of God, and God doing it, by the way, anyway. God's doing all that, and He's saying, just bring them to me. I'll make them right. I'll make them right. Man, He came and He spoke to them. By the way, I said something last week that I'd read out of a book, like the resurrection is the ball game. The resurrection, if you ever watched a house being built, the first thing they do after cleaning a lot, they pour the concrete. The resurrection is the concrete. The rest of the Bible, the rest of the Bible would be just words if it wouldn't be for the resurrection. The resurrection is the concrete that before and after rest on. Nothing would matter if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead. Nothing. You could read about Moses and you could read about whatever. You could read Revelation. Nothing would matter without the resurrection. He walks up to these guys and He says, all authority has been given to me. All authority. Every ounce, every little minuscule bit of authority belongs to me. Belongs to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Let's read that together. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Wow. Man, to read that and to think about what He's saying. When you go into a situation with an individual, have you ever pictured yourself just in His authority bubble? I don't know how else to put it. But God's authority, Jesus, all authority belongs to Him, is right there with you. Everything you're speaking is coming from God, which means everything you speak will be productive. Well, Danny, I shared Jesus one time and they ran away. God's word will make you run. I've been there. I've ran so far one time when stuff was shared to me, I was way out in the field. They had to pipe daylight in as far as where I ran. But you know what it did? As I began, I got mad at the person who told me that. I got mad at Jesus. I got mad at God because how dare Him tell me that I wasn't right? And I ran and I ran and I ran and I ran. And I finally stopped when I was out of air. And I got to thinking, I'm like, you know what? That's wrong. And it was that very word that brought me back. I remember telling a guy that was really instrumental in the first stages of like God drawing me to Himself. I remember telling him, we sat down and he would just smile. He had that smile that like, would you please slap me? You know, he had that kind of smile. And so I would sit there in front of him and he said, you ready to hear some more? No! Yeah! You know, it was that kind of thing. And he would talk to me and I'm like, dude, I hate you. He said, praise the Lord. Are you serious? You like for me to hate you? I don't necessarily like for you to hate me, but hey, if hating me will draw you to God, hate me all day long. Hate me all day long. So, ironically, here I am. I ran, I came back. I ran, I came back. You know what I figured out? God's right. God's never failed. God is complete truth. He's complete truth. And so when He says, go therefore and make disciples, I can do that. Why can I do that? Because Jesus said to. Jesus wouldn't have said something or go do something if He didn't think it could be done and He wasn't going to do it. Do we think like that? I'm beginning to. I'm beginning to believe that God knows everything. That was a joke. I already know God knows everything. He's done enough in my life to prove that point over and over again. I mean, even when we mess it up, he says, that's fine. I got that. In fact, I'm going to take that and it's going to turn into something great. Go make disciples. I have all authority. I'm with you. I'm with you. So guys, here's what I want to say. I don't know how you talk to people or if you talk to people or you want to talk to people but you're too scared to talk to people. I don't know. But a couple things I would say on the surface of this and then just dig deeper after that is God's your provider. If your witness for Jesus Christ causes you to lose a job, if your witness for Jesus Christ, and listen to me, don't you dare go out there and tell me my preacher told me the Bible beat you to death. Don't you dare. You love them. Here's what I picture. If you're going to talk with someone about Christ, you sit down with them. You give them time. You hear them. You listen to them. Jesus listened to people. He went to Zacchaeus' house, and I think he listened to him. He went to Matthew's house, and he listened to him. And I think Jesus was sitting there with a smile on his face, and he would say, I get it, but have you ever thought about, or have you ever wondered? He didn't witness or minister, you liar, you cheater, you all bad. That ain't the way Jesus done it. Man, love goes a long ways, doesn't it? And it sure is hard to love the unlovable. I love this saying, which should be squashed. I can only love them through Jesus. Really? That means you just said, Jesus, you deal with them because I hate their guts. You won't share the love of Christ like it should be shared until you love them, until you see a need for them to be loved. Man, a lot of screwed up people out there. Woo, they messed up. And they're reacting because that's all they know to do. That's all they know to do. And I don't agree with some of it. My first thought to a lot of things you see on the news, line up some ropes, let's hang them all. Wow, what an attitude. I'm a preacher. God, you're gonna have to create in me your abundant love. You're going to have to help me to love those people. And I don't want to dare go and say, well, I'm here because Jesus sent me. Let's get to this. I want to say, I'm here because God loved me. And man, appears to me you might could use this. You need to see this. In fact, appears to me that you need to hear what long, 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 long time ago about God putting himself on the cross. And he took it all for you. You need to hear that. You need to hear that. I needed to hear that. Because I got a thought when he said, therefore go. This church, I told y'all last week, God's doing something amazing here. And I'm going to freak y'all out just a little bit. Some of y'all in the coming months are going to be headlong into something that's way bigger than you are. Way, way bigger than you are. What if I told you, and it's just hypothetical, okay? What if I told you that God's told me to take us into something that's so enormous, it's going to just scare our shoes off of us? I'm leaving today. Where do I unsign? Ain't that your thought? Well, that's okay. That's okay. I get to thinking about going. I get to thinking about moving. I love this. I love this morning. But we're going to be more than just a church service on Sunday morning. We're going to go love the unlovable. And I have no idea how to start. So you're going to get my airplane with me, if you're brave enough. We're going to fire that baby up. And we're just going to go. Here's my thing. I figure God will show us what to do when we get there. And I figure God will tell us what to say when we get there. And I figure God will tell us what we need and how we need it and he'll supply everything we need as we need it, when we need it. I just want to see unlovable people loved into the arms of Jesus for his glory. For his glory. Guess that's all I had to say to y'all this morning. Wow. Didn't that make sense? Cool. We'll do it again next week. We're actually doing a candlelight service. We'll try not to burn church down, but we'll be here. So thankful for y'all. So grateful for y'all. I don't know where you at in your relationship with God, but if you need to talk, let's talk. I'm just a dumb dirt farmer, guys, following Jesus to the best of my ability. So let's trust him. Let's do it. Before we end, we want to have prayer. Miss Mary, if you'll come up, please. And if this is too much, you know, you just tell me. But we believe in prayer here. And we believe bringing, especially beautiful ladies, front and center. But no, we believe in laying on hands. And so we've already been praying for you and for Miss Sandra and the family. I think God's already done some amazing things and going to continue to do some amazing things. Well, cool. So what we want to do is do what we always do. And Kellyanne, we need to pray for you as well. What we want to do, guys, is get y'all to come up and just lay hands. We believe that God, that's biblical, and we're going to trust him in it and trust him for it. And do you mind telling you, can I tell them what we're praying for? You know, she was diagnosed. She's got cancer. That's going to leave her body really, really soon. Okay? And so that's what we're going to pray for. You know, God loves her. And Trey, you know the scripture. One of y'all theologians know the scripture. It says bring them before the church and have the elders lay hands on them. I can't remember what passage that is. James 5. So go read James 5. And he tells us to do this. And so that's why we do this. We don't do this just so we can pray. We do this because we believe God is going to sincerely and truly do something in and through it. He already has. He already is. And he's moving. So as well with Kellyanne, we're going to pray for her. She's got some difficulties in life. And, you know, just need to be comforted and just need to feel God's presence. So if y'all come up, I know it's kind of awkward, but we love y'all. And everybody took baths, so they say. So we're good. And just get close and... Trey, if you'll open up, pray, I'll finish up.
Father God, God, we just come in awe of who you are. And God, you are the great physician. God, you are the giver of comfort. God, you are the giver of strength. God, is wasted in light of you being known and you being illuminated. So, Father, I just pray that we, first and foremost, just give you praise and glory, God, for what you're doing, what you're going to do. God, the things that will be seen, the things that will be learned, and God, the things that will be taught. Father, thank you so much for that. God, I pray for Miss Mary, and I pray for Kelly, and that, God, that you just embrace them, that they feel your presence. God, that they will, and like minute by minute, God, feel your presence, God, of your embrace, and God, feel the security that you give. And so, Father, give them strength and courage. Father, give them all that they need. Just that may they meditate upon you, your goodness, your greatness, and Father God, just know that they're loved beyond comprehension. God, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for just all that you're doing in and through this body. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.